You may be seated. Let me introduce the person I have with me today for the sake of those who might not know. I don't want to assume you do. There's somebody who sees what you don't see, sees me when you don't see me. By the grace of God, we've been married 23 years. It's going to be 24 on the 14th of March. By the grace of God, 2022. And, you know, you don't know what it's like when you don't have to put up a show around somebody. You don't know what it's like when you are yourself. And you're not ashamed. And even if you're ashamed, and if the person is ashamed, you're stuck together anyway. And the shame belongs to both of you. And you don't know what it's like when you can just be free. You don't know what it's like when you look forward to going home every day and you're looking forward to just being with that person. And you don't know what it's like when at times the person tells you, don't you have somewhere to go today? I just want to be by myself. Leave me alone. Just go out, call somebody or go and counsel somebody or something, you know, and just leave me by myself. You don't know what it's like. And I'm telling you, you don't know what it's like to be married to my beloved wife. Wura Olari. Thank you. And by the grace of God, we want to just share the things we have received, we've touched, we've experienced, we've tasted, you know, in our family, first of all, as individuals, and also what we have experienced with the grace and the mercies and the privilege to serve other families. And those are the things we'll be sharing today. The topic of what we're going to be looking at today is the word of the Lord to families. The word of the Lord to families. Like you know, we've been dealing with how to hear God and how to know when God is speaking to us. You know, you might be watching this online, or you might even be around and you don't really believe in God. And I tell people, yeah, once upon a time I didn't. And I truly, genuinely, sincerely did not until I began to understand that God is not about religion. God is real. God is reality. God is the source of everything real. God is the source of everything created. God is the creator. He's the Lord, is the master, is the owner of all. I began to understand that it's not about religion, that God means the source of everything. He's the source of life. He's the source of all intelligence. And when you look at it from a commonsensical angle, it is sensible to stay close to your source, stay connected to your source, because your life, your existence, depends on that source. And that is what God is. So when I took away religion from my head and I began to look at reality, I began to understand the concept behind, it's not just a concept, but the reality behind the fact that I have a source and every one of us came from somewhere. And someone who we all look like and created in his image and likeness. So that is just like an intro. There's something my wife said we should do. And we want to start by praying. We're praying for ourselves and just praying for families. And then we'll quickly share these things. So do you want to lead that?
Yeah.
Please make my wife welcome again. I don't, you know, I was telling. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
How come you don't clap like that for me? It's when my wife comes to clap. I tell somebody I've learned one thing. I hide my wife and I protect my wife. That's the first thing I learned. And I always do that. I will not expose my wife unnecessarily. Okay, she's my wife, not our wife. Please celebrate me.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today, Lord, emptying ourselves and knowing fully well that without you, we are nothing. Mm. And with you, Lord, we are everything because you are everything. Yes. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you speak through us, walk with us, work through us. Help us, O God, by your Spirit to be channels of blessings today to your people. We pray for everyone watching online and for everyone in the studio. Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence more than ever before. We pray, Lord, that everything we're going to say will come from a place of love, your love, a place of compassion, not judging anyone, but just being real and practical at the same time, looking at your word, your standpoint, your views on families, on how we should live our lives within the family units where you've placed us, knowing the purpose for which you have been placed in such families. Father, we ask you to envelope each and every one of us in this all online, oh Lord, with your love. Let your word come to us. And when your word comes to us today, Father, give us the grace to receive your word, not as the word of Fola Owura, but as your word. And as we receive your word, Father, we pray that we'll not only hear, but we would obey. We'll be doers of your word. Holy Spirit, take over and take control. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Right. I will look at the theoretical part of what we want to discuss. And I trust my wife will, you know, look in depth into the practical side. You know, someone once said, notice the difference between your wife and you. You tend to talk about, you know, whatever. But your wife is more practical. Okay, it's all right. We are not in a competition.
No.
We are complementing one another.
Amen.
So that's what I believe God will help us today. So let's start with Genesis chapter 2. Now, we've not really had any prior discussion that this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. We just prayed and trusted that God gave us an outline. So the outline will be, we want to look at the individual before getting married, because the family starts with the individual and two individuals coming together, and then they have a family, they form a family. So before and the marriage itself, what it is, and how do we live together? How do we manage the home and then look at the children? So I want to also look at Genesis chapter 2, all right? From Genesis chapter 2. Genesis and chapter 2. Now, when you look at the family starts with an individual. First of all, an individual, and then the family is made up of individuals who are joined by marriage or joined by blood. So, let's scrutinize first the individual. And if you want to understand the individual, like we've been sharing across the, you know, past few weeks, if you want to understand yourself, one of the things you have to look at is look at your source. What's your history? Where do you come from? Who's your father? Who's your mother? Or who has been the father figure or mother figure, or the sort of family where you come from? So that will help you to understand yourself. I am telling you, if you know where you're coming from, it will give you an idea of where you're likely heading to.
Yeah.
For example, let's say you come from a family, and this is just a random example, but it's very weird. You come from a family of crooks, a family of thieves, and that family is well known. almost said for thievery. Is there anything like that? Fraud. If you come from such a family, there's a likelihood that if you continue in the pathway that they have started, you might also end up as a crook, as a thief, and as a fraud. So it takes you understanding your history to give you an idea of where you're heading to. And you see, in life, if you don't like where you're coming from, you know what? You can actually change where you're going to.
Yeah.
You have the will. It's called choice. I don't want to be like my father. I don't want to be like my mother. And let me tell us, it's not just enough to say I don't want to be like them. Do you know what to do not to be like them? Big question. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at where we all came from, and let's look at this man. The family started with one man called Adam. And let's look at what happened to Adam in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to run so that back and forth we can bounce from each other.
Yeah.
Okay? So verse 7 tells us that God formed the first man from the dust of the ground. So that tells us where we're coming from. We all came, our bodies came from the dust. That's why when someone dies, where do we bury them? Or where do we throw their ashes?
On the ground.
We all go back to the dust. But there's something that made that dust that God formed to be alive. The Bible says God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and that man made from the dust became a living being or a living soul. And what that means is that we are part dust, part life, breath, spirit, and soul. The word soul is just your mind, your will, your intellect, your ability to choose, to think, to decide what you want to do. So you have those three components. But let's leave that. So if you understand where you're coming from and you understand what you are, that gives you an idea of where you're going. So let's leave that. I don't want to flog that too much. So before you marry, before you go into marriage, do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Do you know your history? Do you know your foundation? It's very crucial before you marry. And whoever you want to also marry, do you know who they are? Do you know what they are? Because who they are and what they are will give you an idea of where they're heading to. And do you both, when you both sit down to get to know who and what you both are you heading in the same direction? Because that's usually where the conflict is. And you see people trying to form a family and then the family unit breaks down. Why? Because you've got two people who don't know what and who they are heading in different directions. You can't walk together if you're not going in the same direction. So that is about before. That's what I have to say about before. Okay. So I will leave you to talk about maybe during when people come together and after people start living together. I think for now, you know what? Let me stop there, Wura. So over to you. What's laid on your heart?
So before, the first thing that came to me that I believe it's very important for everyone is for you and I to know God personally for ourselves. I emphasize that a lot because in marriage, people always think that marriage is a solution to a lot of things. So if I get married, my life will be better. Well, it happens. If I get married, I'll know God more. If I get married, I'm running away from all the problems at home. I'll be able to create a new life for myself, things like that. But I believe that, first of all, because the problem is, We don't even recognize the voice of God when it comes to taking a bus, right? When it comes to, like, which course should I study? Should I stay in the University of Liverpool, or should I go to John Moss, or should I leave Liverpool entirely and go to London, or should I go to Canada or to the United States of America? But when it comes to marriage, we want to hear God. But in the simple, simple things of life, we've not trained ourselves to hear God. So we start from the basics. So you know God for yourself. Who are you in God? What is God's plan for my life? Why am I here? What has God brought me to do here on this earth? Even before you start thinking about somebody else. Because if you don't know where you are going, and then you connect with somebody else, that's a train disaster waiting to happen. Because both of you come into this relationship and you don't even know who you are. You don't know where you are going. You don't know the purpose for which you are married. You know, people go into marriage for a lot of reasons. Oh, I'm getting old. Is that a reason to get married? Please, it's not. Oh, I want to cure loneliness. There are so many married lonely people. They are married, but they are lonely. So marriage is not a cure for loneliness. So you must learn to enjoy your own company first. You must learn, ask from God, why am I here? God, what purpose have you brought me to this earth to fulfill? And answering that question will actually help you when somebody comes to you, oh, I want to marry you, or you want to marry someone, because can two work together except they agree? So that's before. So it's very, very important for us to know ourselves. And the most important person that can tell you about yourself is God.
That's your creator.
Your creator. That's the source. That's Elohim. So it's the one to go to, because some of us get married, like myself, and you do things, and even before you get married, you're like, what? Is that me? Did I really do that? Did I really say that? I'm sure it happened to you one or two times where you shocked yourself by the things you said or the things you did. So it's very, very important for us to go to God and let God show. That's another thing. Let him show you your heart, and also the heart of the person you want to get married to. It's very, very important. God knows everyone. You know, we all come to church. We are all very spiritual. But God knows everyone outside of church, outside of the Christianese language. He knows everyone. He knows the backgrounds where people have come from. He knows the baggage people are carrying. And if we are honest with ourselves and we just go to God and we're open and we're like, Lord, this is my heart. I like this person. There's nothing wrong in going to God and saying you like someone. Nothing wrong in that at all. But make sure that you are very definite in what you're doing. You are very intentional. Not that you'll be playing back and forth with people's emotions. This person today, that person tomorrow. So that comes from also knowing who you are and knowing God as well. So it's very, very important for us to...
Sorry, let me just pause you there.
Yeah.
So if you tell God, I like this person.
Yeah.
What next?
So I remember talking to someone. Funny enough, this was a lady, and she might be watching. Her husband is here. I'm not going to mention names. And she came to me
and she's... You just let the person out.
There are so many husbands.
People will start guessing now.
Let them start guessing.
See, Sarah already saying, I know the person.
Let them start guessing.
Say, I know the person.
And
you
the
might
person,
be wrong.
You might be wrong, yeah. You might be wrong. And the person said...
We are not betting. This is not a betting house. She said she wants to bet.
So it's the person is feeling right. So she comes to me and she says she likes someone.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with liking someone. We're happy you like someone. If my son comes to me, I have two sons, and he says he likes a girl, I'll be happy. Because it's normal. It's natural when you get to a certain age to start liking the opposite sex. So it's not sinful.
No, and Joshua, take note.
So I said, okay, that's fine. And so has this person come to you to say anything to you?
Sorry. Point of correction. Please, Nkem, we are going to take what the children learned last week. And please, all the children in the house and those watching online, please just write what you are learning so far, even if it's from the video or anything. So please, I forgot to announce that at the start. It's a family meeting, but still we don't want everyone engaged. So if all the children have something to write with, please, kindly, you've given all the children. God bless you. Please go on.
Yes.
So the person liked the person.
Yeah, so the person liked
like
the
this
person.
I don't even know who you are talking about.
Really?
And that's the truth. I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
No, because, you tell me when we get to.
Yeah, of course. So I said to her, I said, listen, I said, there's nothing wrong with you liking someone.
Mm.
So I said, well, has the person ever come across to you to make their intentions known? Do you know if the person likes you also? And she said, oh, she's not sure.
Mm.
So I said, okay. I said, well, what we can do is that we can start praying.
Okay.
You know, we can start praying.
Now, by praying, is it to pray that the person will like?
No.
Okay.
No, because it takes two. It's not that, it's not praying that the person should like.
Oh, Lord, let this person like me too. So that's not.
I can't remember exactly what I said to her, but it was like, you like this person.
What kind of prayer?
So let's pray. Let God's will be done. If there's any future in you liking this person, then the person will come and meet you. If there's a link between the two of you, you'll come together. So just leave it as that for now. And then she was like, okay. So we left it as that for now. And I was very thankful to her because she was open. And that's one of the things I want to say to those who are not married. If you have pastors over you, people have spiritual authority over you, and you believe you are ready for marriage, what's the point of hiding it? I'm not going to marry you. Neither is my husband.
Too late.
Yeah, I'm happily married. I'm not interested in marrying you, sorry. I'm married to the cutest, the coolest man in the world. And that is the pastor, sit down. Okay,
oh,
sit
sorry.
Down.
Let me behave.
Yeah,
let me behave in the house of God.
You know, so because you see people coming to pastors and telling us one thing and then going behind our backs to do another thing entirely.
That's not being open.
No, that's not being open. You like someone. Well, you don't have to even tell us that you like someone. If you like someone, go to God yourself and put it before God. Be open before God, because do we think that it's when you go to God and you say you like someone, God will start shaking and say, hey, she likes someone. When did this happen? How come I didn't know? Of course, God knows that you like that person. God has always known you liked that person. So there's no point hiding it from me. Just be open before him, tell him how you feel, and then take it from there. And then in this couple's case, well, they are married now anyway, so the guy comes later and says what he wants to say to pastor and myself. And, well, of course, I didn't say anything. I don't even know if the husband knows this story, because I never said anything to the husband. I never did. I never told him that this person likes you. I never did.
I think one of the things we've learned is
it's not
matchmake.
Never.
No.
Even if God comes, and it's happened before in Love Assembly, where God will show me that these two people are going to get married, but I don't get involved.
I remembered one story. Many years ago, this young man walks into the church.
Yeah.
And my wife told me that he saw this guy marry this lady, young lady. They don't know each other. They were not talking to each other. Nothing. He walked in. Just walked in. And I think some years later, they're married. And for years now, they've been married. But we did not interfere because we are not God.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never play God. It's one of the things we're learning.
Yeah.
And still learning.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, go on.
So it's very, very important. So, you know, the problem sometimes is that, you know, we are not open. So we hide things and then things start happening. And before, you know, I'm not saying you should talk to everybody about it. The most important person to talk to is God anyway. Because God knows you and God knows the other person. And then take it from there. Whatever God tells you to do, if God tells you to let your pastors know. And it's not like my husband said, it's not because we want to control anybody's life. I'm very busy. I'm not a busybody. I don't go around people's houses asking, oh, so what did you eat today? Oh, so who are you marrying? Who are you not marrying? Who is this? That is none of my concern. If you want to talk to me about something, feel free to come. But because at the end of the day, like my husband said, we are not God. And we don't want to play God in people's lives, because at the end of the day, that person, it's you and the person that's going to get married and start living together.
Okay.
We can come for the ceremony, eat your rice and whatever, and go.
At the end of the day?
Yeah. Is it so of you?
Okay. Let me just pause you there so that we can start looking at the process, the marriage, and then the life thereafter.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why it's important to be open, okay, I want to give us a scripture. You see, this was after the man and the woman got married. Okay? This is Genesis chapter 2. If you go down to the very last verse, that is verse 25. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. Okay? It says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. Listen, if you are not open about your relationship or intentions, if you are not ready to be exposed, let me put it that way, because we have seen people who go into secret relationships. No, nobody must know. You see, the moment you hide under the cover of darkness, you are given the opportunity for everything wrong to begin to happen to you. Okay? Nobody knows that you're in a relationship and he's told you or she's told you, don't let anybody know. Let's keep it from everybody. Whatever you do to one another, because nobody knows, nobody knows. So you've given yourself the opportunity to even kill each other, if possible, slap each other. I mean, if it slaps you in darkness, you know, you can't tell anybody because nobody must know. Now, where I'm just going is that, don't worry, if nobody knows, and you don't want anybody to know, marriage will soon expose you. Marriage exposes our nakedness, those hidden things. That's why it's good to be open. Don't cover. Okay? This is one of the things that I've learned recently. And I think I was sharing with someone because, you know, these truths just keep coming. Look at the man in the Bible. So the story is in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 4. You can go and read it. So I'll just run a commentary. Now, look at the man. He was alone. He was given an assignment. Tend the garden, keep the garden, and guard the garden. I don't know which order it was, but those are the three things. Tend it, attend to it, keep it, just make sure the place is thriving, and guard it. That means protect it. He was alone. He was alone in that garden. Lucky, the moment he married, the devil showed up. Please don't go too far. Why is it that it's after people marry, a lot of trouble starts? Have we thought about that? There's something about marriage. There's something good, powerful about marriage. Because on your own, let me say this, on your own, and please, I'm not trying to say it's not good to be single. If you have a gift, a calling, I've met people who have said, I'm not marrying. I'm not getting married. I'm okay by myself and all that. Listen, it's actually, although God says it's not good for the man to be alone, but you see, it's good for some people to be left alone. Because if you marry them, you've married trouble. You've married a self-centered, selfish, narcissist, self-controlling, insecure individual. That's what the person is going to bring into the marriage, like my wife said. We bring the garbage and the baggage we carry. So it's good to expose them. Because marriage has a way of exposing. So look at it. Marriage is so powerful. The man, God said, be fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, subdue. There is no way an individual by themselves can be fruitful. And let me say fruitful in the sense that you want to reproduce, because that fruitfulness is broad.
Mm.
It's not just about children. But for a woman, of course, we have all sorts of crazy movements now. Okay, let me remove the word crazy. All sorts of unique. I don't need a man. I just need a child. Mm. Okay. But do you realize you cannot have a child without a man? Yeah, just a donor. It's
still
okay.
A man.
You're still a man. It's not a robot. It's not an angel. It's not a bird. So what I'm just saying is that there's something about coming together. There's something about marriage. There's so much power in it that the enemy recognizes that, look, let me break it.
Mm.
If I break it, and two people come together and they never agree, they will never achieve anything. You know, sorry that I've been exposing you these days, Samuel. I'm sorry, Anifi. But one of the things, I look at this young couple, and we were privileged to see them before they married, they got married, and, you know, because their story, in a way, maybe a little bit resonates with us. I mean, I had nothing when my wife married me. You know, I say that it sounds very far-fetched. I had nothing. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have all the basic things. A young, upcoming, successful, up-flying man should have. You know, so I'm happy that my wife didn't marry me because of the things I have. She married me for who I was. And in all sincerity, same thing, I married my wife for the character she was. So I look at the two of them. Very humble beginnings. And we shared with them the power of agreement.
Yeah.
And we are seeing the fruit. You know, had the privilege to discuss with them recently and all that. That they've learned one thing, to always agree.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that husband and wives don't agree? Have you ever thought about it? Why are we always fighting? Because when the man was alone, there was no devil troubling him. The moment he married, the devil showed up.
Mm.
We've got to fight and fight a common enemy. Listen, your spouse is not your enemy.
Yeah.
It's the enemy trying to break your marriage. So it's important. Start on that platform of being open, because marriage will soon expose you. Okay, over to you.
Yeah, so, well, I have a lot of things written down before marriage, but because of time. So I'm going to just go into marriage now. So like you said, agreement is very, very important. Very, very important. And, you know, people struggle with this because they think, oh, does that mean I can't be myself? No. That's not what it means. What it means is that both of you find a common ground. So you bring yours, she brings us, and then we meet somewhere in the middle, in the center, and decide, you know, this is what we're going to do. You know, for men, coming with this idea and saying, oh, I'm the head of the family, so whatever I say stands.
So once we marry,
no, I take
whatever you say doesn't matter anymore.
I make
it's whatever
all the decisions.
I say, I'm the head.
I decide when we pray and when we don't pray. I decide when we fast, when we don't fast. I decide with the house, the home is going to run. It doesn't work that way because, you know, and I see this a lot with men. Before they marry, they have this idea, this vision of how they want their home to be. But my question is, this other person coming into this relationship, have you ever asked her what she wants?
What our vision to?
What her vision
and expectations.
Is?
Yeah.
You've never done that. You just, it's not like it's a bad thing in itself, but be mindful of the other person both ways. You know, male or female, be mindful that it's not as if you are coming to take over this person's life. Both of you are in a partnership. It's a fellowship. It's a partnership. You know, so you have to work together. You have to agree. You have to, like, listen to the other person's point of view at times and not impose yours and want things to be done your own way. And when things, and women are guilty of this as well, when things are not done your way, you throw tantrums and just turn everywhere upside down. No marriage is going to be happy that way. So agreement is just coming together and saying, okay, this is A, this is D. Can we meet at C somewhere? Can we just meet in the middle? And like Pastor said, agreement is powerful in marriage. And the devil knows it. And that's why he fights it. That's why he makes sure that couples always, there's always one thing. Have you not noticed that you'll be happy, enjoying your marriage, all of a sudden something tiny will just happen. Before you know it, it's just blown out of proportion. Both of you are blowing out and you're like, and if someone has to be sensitive out of the two at that time and say that, what's going on? Why are we like this? We're not like this before. You know, so in marriage, agreement is important and there must always be one of the parties that must be discerning. It's very, very important that both of you are discerning. But every point in time, especially when there are arguments in the home, A must not go somewhere and B go somewhere and the center cannot hold, like things fall apart. Somebody must hold that center. Somebody must hold it, whether it's the husband or the wife. And there's no big deal in saying I'm sorry. You know, men, there's no big deal. Men can't say I'm sorry. I don't know why. I don't know why you can't apologize to your wife and say you are sorry.
Are you talking about me?
Well, not really. I don't know why you can't see me personally. Let me tell you about myself. Forget about my husband. For me, before I got married, because I'm the second to the last in my family, so I was spoiled. So I was not used to apologizing to anybody. I didn't believe that anything that happened was my fault because my dad always made me to have whatever I wanted, gave me whatever I wanted, and later learned that I looked like his mom. So that was the secret, but it wasn't open.
You know, this is what you're saying now is part of what we're talking about. Yeah. Know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Know where you're coming from because it will help to understand yourself and where you are likely going. So you realize you were...
That was a bit selfish
and spoiled
and self-centered. And I had to be open with myself and with God. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had to go to God and say, if I continue like this and I get married, I'm going to have problems in my marriage. So, Lord, I need you to help me to know how to let go, to be able to say sorry to people. And now... doesn't take anything out of me. For the sake of peace, I'll say sorry 1,000,000 times because that's how God has dealt with me. And that's what I meant when I was talking to the people that are not married, that you know yourself. If you don't know yourself, go to God and let God show you who you are. Let him take out of you the strongholds in your life before you get married. Because if you go into marriage with those strongholds, God is a God of mercy and compassion. He will come over. He will take control. He will help you. But there will be scars. There will be scars.
He will help you. That's if you let him help you.
If you let him help you. So it's very, very important for you to know who you are. So, you know, saying sorry doesn't take anything out of anybody. Apologizing doesn't mean you are weak. It actually means you're strong. That's what I believe.
Saying sorry.
Yeah, so it actually means you are the better person. You are willing to let peace reign. Okay. Because without peace in the home, nothing works. It affects the children. It affects your work. It affects your relationship with God. It affects everything when there's no peace in the family. So I want to be at peace. I don't like trouble. I want my mind to be at peace. So if that means I have to apologize 1,000,000 times to have that peace, why not? Is it going to be written on my forehead that I apologize 1,000,000 times? No. No, but
so saying sorry is not a sign of weakness.
No, it's a sign of strength, I believe. It actually means you're strong.
Okay, I'm sorry for anything I will do from now on. Amen. Okay, let's look because I'm mindful. How many minutes do we have left, Sarah?
Oh, it's almost half 12.
We have 6 more minutes. Okay, so let's look at the home itself.
Yeah.
Okay. The word of the Lord. What we're talking about is the word of the Lord to the family.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the home.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see the man and the woman, they get married in Genesis, and then we see their marriage come under attack.
Yeah.
And then I think Genesis chapter 4, they start having children, and we even see more trouble. Even the children, they had one called Adam, Cain. And they had the other one called Abel. We started seeing sibling rivalry. Yeah. Can we all identify with that? Mm. Husband and wife fighting, and then siblings now fighting, children of the same parents. So it's not uncommon. These are things that are real. But what do we learn from these things? So what would you say to husband and wife now having children? I don't know if you have anything written about
that. So, like I said, we have two sons, 22 and 18, Eleanor and Joshua. We decided before we had children and prayed about it and told God we didn't want our children to be rivals. We wanted them to be close. We wanted them to be brothers. And then when they came along, every single day, we tell Noah, and you can ask Noah, Joshua is your younger brother. You protect him, you take care of him, you love him. And Joshua, you respect your older brother. You know, because parents...
And let me say this. In all sincerity, if you see Noah and Joshua today, 22 and 18, they look out for each other.
Mm.
In 22 years of Noah's life, I've never seen him bully.
Smack or bully.
Smack, beat...
Never.
His younger brother. Please never. Celebrate Noah. Please. And celebrate Joshua, too, for being a nice brother. And one of the things I would say is that if they watched us and they saw us constantly fighting, what's the message we are passing on to them?
Yeah.
So that's a food for thought. Yes.
So it's very important. The Bible talks about parents training their children. It is very, very important to train. And I'm going to address parents right now. Not all of the time, but most of the time, it's parents that create these rivalries.
Mm.
Your sister is better in math. Why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your brother? You know? And we as parents, we think we are gingering them up. We are trying to make them strong by using all these technologies. No, you are dividing them. You are starting to make them to hate each other. Mm. When you tell one that one is better than the other, your brother is good in maths. We have to realize, parents, please, if you don't get anything, get this. Children are different. No two children are the same. Stop comparing them. Stop it. You create these rivalries, and then when we are old, we wonder why our children are not talking to each other. It's our fault, because when they were younger, we compared them to their siblings. We told one that this one is more beautiful than you. Your brother is doing science because you want all your children to be doctors, because one is now writing poems. You now think that one is lesser than the one that is a doctor. No. Recognize that children are different. They have different giftings. As soon as your wife gets pregnant, as a man, both of you come together as a couple and start praying for that child. It's because sometimes we don't know the purpose of the purpose that child has come to fulfill on earth, that we compare them with the other one. So find out what purpose that child.
How?
By praying to God and letting God, asking God, this is my child, this is my son, this is my daughter. Lord, what has he or she come to do? Because there is nobody that has been born with nothing. Every single one of us, we have something to do here. If we didn't have something to do here, we will not be here. So it's very simple. Lord, this child of mine, this son of mine, this daughter of mine, what do you want them to do? Why are they here? And from like 6, 12, 18 months, you start seeing their characters coming out. You start seeing it. And if you see that one of them is bullying the other, you put a stop to it immediately. You draw meat into their ears day after day. And then you're praying for them as well. You know, just don't leave it and say, oh, they're children. No, they will get over it. No, bring it to their attention. 2-year-old, stop hitting your brother. stop hitting your sister. You are not meant to do that. You are meant to protect them. So that is how it is, because parents cause all these rivalries. And as parents, you do your best, then you leave the rest to God. I know sometimes, well, most times, parents are favorites anyway, but keep it to yourself if you do, please. Don't make it too obvious. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was telling me my son calls me every day. So I went to her. So I'm not your child. We still had this argument when we went home, because we
She's
all
online.
Know.
Hello, mommy.
Hello, mama. I told you this when I saw you some few weeks ago. We all told you that we know your favorite.
I hope your brother is not online.
Well, he knows.
Well, it's too late.
He knows. We know. No, we all know.
No, it's too late. You are mine. You are mine now. I took you from that.
So what I'm just trying to say is that even at 80 something years old, she's still saying my child calls me every day. I don't call her every day, so I was repenting. So I now chipped in and I said, are you not saying that I'm not your child? But what I'm trying to say is that, please, let's be careful as parents not to compare. Your sister is more beautiful than you. What's that? That's rubbish. Why? Okay. That girl is going to have self-esteem issues all her life just because she's been told by the person that should protect her most that she's not beautiful. So, and then we see our girls going out to men, and they are like, why my daughter's running after men? You caused it because you didn't affirm her. You didn't affirm her. So she goes out looking for affirmation from men. We caused it. And inside African parents, we are guilty. You know, we don't talk to our children. We're so formal. Well, I've paid for school fees. I sent them abroad. I have done this and I've done my duty. No. That's not all your duty. Your duty is to find out how your child is feeling. Let them talk to you. I'm learning as a mother of two sons to keep quiet, to withdraw, to let them be men. My husband would tell me, Wura, you are intruding too much. So I draw back because I know that one day Noah and Joshua are going to be husbands to women. I want them to respect women. I don't want them to see women as nagging beings that don't allow you. You know, sometimes not.
Is that why men, when they marry and their wives nag them?
Yeah, they remind them of their moms. And you're like, I'm seeing my mother all over again. And you're like, why are you shouting? I just told you to put something there. But what women don't understand is that the man is seeing his mother all over again. And it's like, my God, what have I gotten myself into? So once my husband starts talking to either of the boys, I call them boys to men now. And Noah always says, Mom, why do you call us after a boys band? But then if you are not in your 50s, you might not know boys to men, but that's okay. But that's why I call them now. And once I see my husband talking to them about something, I withdraw. I don't talk at the same time.
Because we're doing men's talk.
Yeah, let the men talk. And when they need me, they come to me. And when I need to chip in, I chip in. So please, parents, Bible says we should not provoke them. Stop calling your children names.
You don't want them to become.
Whatever you call your child is what your child will become.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. I think our time is gone.
Yeah.
To chip in just a little bit about children. Of course, one of the things with marriages is, I always tell people, it's an informed... It's an informed... risk. Marriage itself is a risk. You come together with someone, you marry, in all sincerity, you don't know what can happen.
Mm.
You don't. That's where we all both need in a marriage, and everybody in the marriage, to stay connected to our source. Now, talking about children, you know, there are challenges.
Mm.
At times, children may not come.
Mm.
At times the children may come. And then you have one child that has a challenge.
Yeah.
See, one of the things that I will just say is this. Like she said, what is the purpose of this child? I've learned one thing. There's nothing before God called disability.
Mm.
Before God, it's just a different
ability.
You need to understand that different ability the child has.
Amen.
And you will help the child fulfill the child's purpose.
Mm.
Now, there's someone, I just saw it, I think during the week. I've forgotten his name. I think it's a scientist. He's on a wheelchair. He's completely by human standards disabled. I don't know what his name is. He's bent, he wears glasses. He's a scientist, and he's...
Stephen Hawking is dead now.
That's the name.
He's dead now.
Who knows about Stephen Hawking, and what are the things? Yes, Andrew, what do you know about him? Please, can you give him a microphone and help me give my T-bro. There's T-bro there, and there's Andrew here. So Andrew will talk, T-bro will talk, and we pray. Yes, because I want to say something about Andrew Hawkins. Okay, good.
Stephen.
I said Andrew Hawkins.
I think he had a profession in science or learning about astronomy, about like different planets.
What did he discover? Some things in science, right?
Yeah.
Okay. T-Bro, talk to me.
Stephen Hawking was an astronomer who discovered the Big Bang in the universe and checked on maybe there's another dimension out there that might have another living beings.
Okay. And, so basically, he's a scientist, and his discoveries, whether we like it or not, has influenced the human race. Mm. But guess what? He doesn't run around the way you run around. He doesn't talk the way you talk. The guy is on a wheelchair.
Do you know that he wasn't born like that?
He wasn't born like that?
No, he went to, I think, Oxford or Eton or whatever. And when he was in his 20s, he had this disease, this muscle-wasting disease. He's a very brilliant mind, and he ended up on a wheelchair.
So,
but I used to, he talks with his computer. He can't even talk. He can't speak.
Yep.
He types, and then the voice comes out.
I used to have a student, pure A student, completely on a wheelchair, doesn't talk, he can't communicate. But some people understood his different ability and brought it out. The guy is an A student. The guy, you know, I sit in the exams with him, invigilate. We have to give him some extra hours above everybody, but just give him the question, and somebody needs to read it to him.
Mm.
And they read it to him. Please pardon me, I'm not mimicking and I'm not trying to be funny. They read the question into his ears, and he's like that, bent, everything. And he would just go, and he's punching on that system. And before you know it, on the screen, all the answers will come. An A student has got a different ability. Somebody took time to understand the ability and brought it out.
Mm.
So you cannot predict. That's one thing about marriage, what can happen to yourself, to your spouse, or to your children. But if we learn to live on purpose, find out why we are coming together, find out why we want to have a family, the purpose of a family, and run on purpose and live on purpose, I'm telling you, we will live fulfilled lives.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, whatever we couldn't say now, whatever stage you are, maybe you're not married, looking to marry, or you're married, or you're having a challenging marriage, or you're having a happy marriage, things can still be better.
Amen.
Remember, you cannot change where you're coming from,
but
you can decide where you want to go.
Amen.
From today. Let us pray.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads to pray. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just sense that we should just pray, especially for those going through challenges in their marriages right now, whatever the challenge might be, whether it has to do with childbearing, whether it has to do with, you know, fights within the home, not understanding each other, whether it has to do with health issues, whatever these challenges are, Father, we just come before you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in humility this afternoon, and we just pray for every family going through a tough time right now. Father,
yes,
we
Lord.
Just ask for your divine intervention, Lord, would you please intervene in these homes? We ask for peace. We ask for every storm to calm, oh God. We ask in the name of Jesus that you give everyone, oh God, a new heart, a heart to forgive, Bitterness eats up. Bitterness robs us of our joy, Lord. We pray against every bitterness in every home. We pray against unforgiveness. Father, we ask, Lord,
mercy.
Let there be healing.
Mercy,
let
Lord.
There be healing, oh
mercy.
God. Let there be reconciliation.
Mercy.
Let every prayer that is brought before you concerning every family represented in this place online, Father, we pray that every prayer will be answered, Lord, to your praise and to your glory. Let our children continually, Lord, be taught of you.
Yes, Lord.
Let their peace be great. We cover them all with the blood of Jesus, from the ones that are babies to the ones who are having children themselves. We pray for our children that you perfect all that concerns them.
Yes,
every one of our children, whether old or young, teenagers in their 20s, 30s, 40s, going through tough times, Lord, intervene. Those that don't know you, Father, let them know you.
Thank you, Lord.
God Almighty, touch them. Renew their strength, provide for them, perfect all that concerns them,
Thank
O Lord.
Lord.
Let our hearts always rejoice concerning them.
I will pray
for the widows in our midst, O God. You are the husband to the widows, Lord. Sustain them, uphold them, be with them, strengthen
Thank
them,
you,
meet them at the point of their needs,
Thank
and
you,
let them never lack anything good. In Jesus' name,
Jesus,
amen.
Father, we just thank you. The word you have spoken to us, I come against the enemy of
yes,
our souls.
Lord.
I come against Satan.
Jesus.
I come against principalities, powers. You will not steal this word from our hearts.
Amen.
And Father, I pray for a release of understanding, not just knowledge,
yes, Lord.
Understanding and wisdom to apply
Amen.
What you've spoken to every individual today.
Yes, Lord.
The pressures of life. The worries, the challenges will not choke what we've heard.
Amen.
But Lord, strength will come. Determination. Lord, the grit to do what you're saying. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every distraction, every deceitfulness will not make us unfruitful.
Yes.
That which is spoken shall be done.
Amen.
In every individual right now. I pray peace upon every heart,
Amen.
Every individual,
yes,
every
Lord.
Family, every marriage, every home, every child. Peace. I pray your blessings.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, for anyone or perhaps who's wondering, watching online or might even be here, I pray you are the only one who can truly, genuinely introduce yourself to them.
Mm.
Introduce Jesus to them, Holy Spirit. I know you are bringing a conviction, but I pray communicate with every individual the way they will understand.
Amen.
And bring them unto the
yes,
saving
Lord.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, whatever questions, in your own way, answer these questions.
Amen.
And may we not forget
yes, Lord.
To do what you've said us, told us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And amen, and amen, and everybody say amen,
amen,
amen. Amen.